This is episode number 50 with Aaron Bashu.
I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream. And they fill it with their secrets. It's called Inception.
What's up, Internet? My name is Hadlin, and welcome to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast, where we dive deep into the minds of high performers and figure out how they have learned to control their minds for success to attain the level of success they currently have reached. And I get to learn first, I need to put that out of the way, and in turn, you get to learn alongside myself by listening to our conversation, this interview, and enhance your way of life in personal and business ventures. Now, this episode has been brought to you by Hadlin Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services. From magic to mentalism to hypnosis to speaking to photo booths to photographers to videographers, you name it, we can do it in entertainment services. Weddings, birthdays, festivals, fairs, corporate events, corporate parties and mixers, aftergrads and proms. We do everything, ladies and gentlemen. But now, without further ado, we're going to get into this, the mind of this next person, this amazing guy. His name's Aaron Bashu, by the way. And this guy makes amazing music. I first was put onto him because I was searching for original content made locally in Saskatoon. So I searched Saskatoon music on SoundCloud. I found his channel on SoundCloud. He goes by the name of Fabric. So I found him on Facebook, I found our mutual friends, and I ensured that I was able to get an introduction. Ended up finally meeting him after, you know what, we'll get into that story in a moment here, but just know that this guy has gone through such an amazing transformation, and his story and lessons learned is going to affect your life as you listen to this podcast. I know it will, 100%. That's why I'm so proud and I'm so confident in this episode, because I know that you're going to learn something and you're going to be able to take the lessons in this episode and apply them to your life. Now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this episode. I present to you Aaron Bashu. What's up? Thank you for joining me, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So I know we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to learn more about each other then.
Yeah.
But I'd actually, your story is so powerful. I'd like to maybe start with that. Maybe people that don't know you, just a little bit of your background first.
Well, so I guess the way that me and you were introduced to each other was that you found my music online. And so I guess music has been a big part of my life for at least a decade now. I actually started rapping first, and then from there I started making beats, and I guess just naturally over the course of time, I'll always love rapping. It's just I just don't feel like it comes as naturally to me anymore as it used to. So I've kind of dove into making beats a little bit more than I used to. And so since, I don't know, I think over like the last 5 or 6 years I've been making beats, and just progressively over that time I've done it more and more, and it's becoming more and more natural to me. And I just feel with writing, I've kind of plateaued, I've kind of like done what I can do, but I feel with making beats, I'm kind of like on this upward slope. And so I feel like I haven't reached my potential, and I feel like there's just like a lot more I can do with that. So that's how you and I were introduced. I'm not sure if you want to know about like my last year or
definitely. Yeah, I definitely want to get into that for sure.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess so Aaron, you had, was it a full year? It was, no, 9 months, right?
I was just gone for six months. Yeah.
Right. Please tell us about that experience.
All right. So I guess for a long time I smoked a lot of weed, and I was just like on this path where I wasn't super stoked on where I was at. And I think like a lot of musicians will do drugs and stuff like that to find inspiration and creativity. And it's just a slippery slope. It's a hard place. It's just like a path to unhappiness, in my opinion. And so I guess last year I kind of hit a low point and I wanted to change my life. And so I skateboard as well. It's not just music that I love doing. I really love skateboarding. And I ended up meeting this girl named Sarah Kelly, who introduced me to this program called Calling All Skaters. And so she kind of planted the seed. I don't know how long ago she told me about that program, like a year and a half ago or something. And so that just kind of put the thought in my mind about this program. And so basically, what Calling All Skaters is it's a Christian organization. And so basically you go for 6 months, 3 months is training, and then 3 months is like outreach overseas. And so for 3 months, I was in San Francisco and just like learning about Jesus every day. And so, I don't know, it's weird because I was a Christian when I grew up, and then I just kind of like fell off the path when I was about 17. And then, like I said, I kind of got involved with drugs and girls and partying and just like normal things that a lot of people are into, you know, and that's fine. Exactly. So I guess I just realized over the course of time that all these things were like leading me to a place that I didn't want to go. And so I just, I guess, thought, I'm going to give God one more opportunity in my life. And so I went to San Francisco, and pretty much immediately I noticed a change in my life. I kind of went out there with a thought. Well, I prayed before I went, and I was like, God, if you're real, like this is your window of time in my life to like make a difference in my life and kind of do your thing, and here you go, here's my life, like you have me for 6 months. And so I went out there, and from day one, I guess there's the leader of the school, his name's Elisha. He just told us that every day we were going to have quiet time for an hour and a half. And through quiet time, I mean, you can do whatever you want. They're not like governing you. They're not like standing over you telling you what to do. But he basically just said, if you take this time seriously and you really try to connect with God, like I've seen this like change people's lives if you do this on a daily basis. And so I guess I kind of jumped in and really took that time seriously. And I journaled every day, and I started reading the Bible every day, and I started just praying every day. And so since then, I don't know, it's just crazy because I haven't done drugs in over 6 months. I haven't drank in over 6 months. It's been 5 months off cigarettes. And I mean, those are just like addiction issues that have been resolved in my life, which is just unreal. Because I mean, for a long time I wanted to quit all these things, but I wasn't able to on my own. And so to me, that's just, it's so easy to argue that God's not real, and there's a lot of people out there that are going to hear this that are going to think this is whack or whatever. But for me personally, it's just like I was freed from addictions and I didn't have any withdrawal symptoms. I have barely any cravings anymore. It just kind of, they were just like taken away from me, you know? And so for me to, it's just like the only explanation for that is God, you know? And so other people can say whatever they want, but to me, like, that's real. And so basically in San Francisco, I had 3 months in San Francisco, and every week there was a different teacher coming in, and they would teach us different things about God. So there was like spiritual warfare week, Father Heart of God week, hearing God's voice, like all these different things. So they had 12 weeks of classes just preparing us, because we were leaving for 3 months as well to go overseas and kind of apply what we learned. So then I got to go to Panama for about a month and a half, and I got to go to Colombia for a month and a half, and then we ended up with like a debrief week in San Francisco. I mean, there's a lot to the 6 months, and it's kind of hard to like pick it apart more in depth than that. I mean, but basically that's what the last 6 months of my life was me just exploring, I don't know, giving God one more opportunity in my life to make a difference, and he showed up and he did. So to me, it's just like super rad, because I found a new happiness. I found new purpose. I'm stronger, healthier, happier, just in just a way better place than I have been in over a decade. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's super rad. I mean, one of the weird things though is like I used to smoke weed all the time and try to make music. And so for me, it's like that's been kind of a struggle, because I have my studio back now that I'm home, and I've been able to make stuff, but it's I don't know. I think,
was it a crutch before then?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know lots of people that like don't make music without having a drink or two or without smoking a joint. You know, like it's for a lot of musicians, that's right. How they operate. And it's, I don't know, it's, I mean, I think stuff like that in moderation is fine. It's when you're relying on it all the time and like every day you need to smoke a joint or every day you need to drink a few beers or whatever. I think like that's when it's not good. But I'm one of those people where I don't really have a moderation button. So it's like I can't. If I was to go smoke a joint today, chances are I'd probably just like be a pothead again, you know? So it's one of those things where it's like I miss the creativity and stuff like that, but at the same time I also know that that's like a super slippery slope for someone like me. And so I'm at a place where I'm not gonna go and smoke a joint even if I want to, you know?
Yeah, and that's great.
Yeah. I mean, when I got home it was kind of funny cuz like my jacket was at my parents' house. And I was, like, digging around in the pockets to see if I had left anything in there. And there was some weed in my jacket. And I was like, dang it. I was like, of course there's weed in my jacket, you know?
It's there to
tempt you. Yeah, you know? And so for a while there, I was, like, wrestling. Because I'm staying at my parents' house just for a little bit right now. Because I came back from this trip and I have no money. And they were leaving, like, I was there with them for about a week, and then they were leaving for a week, and so I was like, oh, I'm just gonna hold on to this weed till they're gone, and I'm just gonna roll one joint, and it's gonna be fine, and, like, nobody has to know about it, you know? But then I was just, like, thinking, I was like, you know, I've worked 6 months to not be a pothead anymore, you know? And so it's like, because I know that person's still in there, you know? It's just, like, I've done a lot of work and got to a place where I feel, like, a sense of freedom from it, but at the same time I know that if I give it another opportunity in my life it could take over again. It's just how I feel about it. And so one day I was driving and I just took it out of my pocket and I just threw it out the window, you know? So it's like one of those things where it's like I feel like I kind of passed the test there.
Nice.
But it's interesting because like I said, like I don't feel like I have cravings or temptations a lot, and it's really like that was the biggest temptation of the last 6 months. Like when I was in San Francisco, weed is legal in California. I smell weed everywhere in San Francisco all the time. People would ask me to buy drugs every day, and it's just like it's pretty gnarly, and I just was like never really tempted once, you know? I mean, sometimes I'll see people smoking cigarettes and I'll be like, oh, it'd be nice to smoke a cigarette, but I mean, I feel like I'm kind of over it, you know?
Yeah,
which is like pretty rad. That's so I guess like for the last 6 months, that's basically in a condensed version like what my last 6 months has been. Yeah,
that's so awesome, man.
Yeah.
Just changed your life for the better.
Yeah,
and you obviously feel very positive about it.
Super happy, man. Yeah, absolutely. And
so positive that, you know, you're back home.
Yeah,
but you can't wait to go and leave again. Like what's your next venture?
So actually I'm only here for like another week, and then I'm actually going to LA to take a secondary school with the same organization. The organization I was a part of is called YWAM Youth with a Mission. And so now I'm going for what's called SOMD, which is School of Ministry Development. So it's just like more in depth, better teachers. They say there's better teachers. I mean, our teachers were pretty rad in San Francisco. So I mean, if they're better than that, then that's pretty amazing. Cause I was like pretty impressed with all our teachers there. But yeah, it's just like, I love having a relationship with God, and it's one of those things where it's like I feel like that's the reason I've changed, and I'm happy and I'm strong. And so for me it's just like it was the next logical step. It's like, okay, like being home this last month has been hard, dude. It's like I come home from like having conversations about Jesus every day and like I don't know, just around a bunch of dudes who want the same thing, to like all my old friends who are smoking weed all the time and like drinking on the weekends and like just further down that hole than they were even before I left. And I mean, for me, it's like I can't judge, because for 12 years I lived that life, you know what I mean? It took me a long time to try and find a path to freedom, so I can't come home and be mad at people for like still being in right. that position. Yep. You know? But at the same time, it's like now I feel like I found something better, and it's like I want to be able to share that with my friends, and I want them to be able to be like, look, I don't need to smoke weed all the time, I don't need to drink beer all the time, I don't need to do these things all the time, you know? So I mean, being home has been challenging, but also I know that like I can make a difference in my friend's life through like what I've learned through Jesus, you know? So it's one of those things where it's like I just need to learn how to navigate with friends and just kind of learn how to have the right conversations and just be, maybe even not even talk about God, but just be a positive influence on them and just show them that I'm sober now, you know what exactly. I mean? And just like be a good friend to them.
Lead by example.
Lead by example, exactly. So that's kind of where I'm at. And then, so yeah, I'm going to be in LA for another 3 months. And I don't want to plan too far in advance, but I think as far as I know, then I'm just coming back here full time because it's been an expensive year and I need to make some money again. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just like super stoked. I'm super stoked to go back to LA and just keep kind of going on the path that I'm on. I think the deeper my foundation is with God is like the stronger I can be back here for my friends who need help, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's all I want, man, is like, I feel like I found freedom, and it's like I want my friends to find freedom too, because it's like sometimes the reason people fall into addictions is because there's something wrong with their life and they're trying to like push it to the side, you know? And it's like, okay, when I'm drunk, I don't feel it. When I'm high, I don't feel it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Deal with it later, sort of thing.
But they never you're not dealing with it, though. That's the thing. That's why you're an addict, is because you're just constantly pushing it aside. You're never dealing with what's wrong, you know? And so, because I've done studies on addictions, because I've been an addict for a while, you know, and it's like I want to understand the process of why the brain does what it does. And I mean, I guess the thing is that people just like have a feeling that they don't like, and then they use something to cover it up, you know what I mean? And so it's like you're never dealing with what the core issue is. So, I mean, for me, I'm lucky because I just feel like God kind of took that away from me, my addictions. But at the same time, I understand that like life is hard, man, and it's easy to fall into the trap of like turning to stuff like that to make yourself feel better. But I mean, yeah. Anyways, yeah,
I've been there too. I've partied a lot, drank a lot.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I don't even go to the bar anymore.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing experience, and like, just not going to the bar, just for an example.
Yeah.
You just start to realize who is actually your friend.
Absolutely, man.
Because now that you're not going to the bar, those people aren't calling you to go anymore.
Yep, absolutely.
Or even just, and they don't want to go hang out any other place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just, for me, it's allowed me to work harder and longer now too.
Well, I mean, you're not spending like time and energy and money on other like things that have no value, you know? That's a thing, man. It's like going to the bar on like a night where you might not even like, a cheap night at the bar can be $100, you know what I mean? And that's crazy to think, you know? It's like a cheap night at the bar, and it's like when you got rent and you got a car payment and you got a phone bill and you got this and that and life to pay for, it's like those $100 here and there makes you have nothing, you know what I mean?
Some people only make $100 in a day.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your 8 hours in, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, totally. And you're probably going to wake up feeling sick, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That can mean every once in a while, right?
Yeah.
Just to celebrate. But I used to go, man, I think there was a point in time in my early 20s when I would go like almost every weekday.
Yeah.
And weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, bro, is we all go through our phases. And like, you know, for me, it was like, I'm not even mad about the last 12 years. For a little while, I was when I got to San Francisco. But then I was just like, you know, if I wouldn't have went through all the crap, like in all those like hard times that I went through, it's like it wouldn't have pushed me to go and like find God, you know? It wouldn't have pushed me to find something better. And so it's like you have to go through like the valleys and like the dark times in life to bring you to something better, you know what I mean? It's like you need to experience those things. And it's like I feel like the last 12 years of my life, it sucked, but they were for a reason. They brought me to something better. You know what I mean? And so it's like for you in your early 20s, when you went through that stage of like drinking every day for whatever, a week or whatever, it's just like, I know so many people who have done that. You know, it's like, it's such a normal thing. It's the way of the world, man. You know, it's like I said before, it's like, before I was like, I love weed, I love beer, I tried sleeping with girls, you know? It's just like all these things, and it's like these are all things that are, I don't know,
just temporary.
Yeah, I mean, like for instance with like women, it's like nice to find like a girl that you love that you can be with, but that's like like I would much rather have like one girl I really cared about than like trying to go and pick up just girls all the time, you know? Just temporary stuff, you know? It's like it's nice to have like a real relationship where you can like pour into each other and actually like be friends, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. And you can actually, you learn more.
Yeah.
In experience like that too.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I think we're created to be like intimate with people, you know? I don't think we're just created to go and sleep with people and chuck them, you know? That's yeah. that's not what we're created for. We're created for like intimate relationships with people where we can, I don't know, like grow with each other, you know? So,
yeah. So, I just want you to imagine for a moment a hypothetical situation.
Sure.
I want you to imagine like an evil hypnotist. Not okay. not me, obviously.
Okay.
And this evil hypnotist, he went out to every single person that you've ever met.
Sure.
And he erased all memory of you.
Okay.
But now you have an opportunity after that to create something that would hopefully remind everybody about you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
It's a tough question.
I like tough questions. <so. laughs> And if you want, we can even come back to it in a moment.
Just wait, like, let me wrap my head around this.
Yeah.
So everyone I know has no recollection of me. What would I do
right.
to remind them of me?
Like, all their memories have been suppressed and, like, blocked by this evil hypnotist. Which, it's hypothetical because you can't actually do that. Just make sure that all the listeners and viewers know. You can't actually erase people's minds. It'll always be there.
Yeah.
But let's say that this person suppressed all those memories.
Okay.
And then what you create, as long as it's, you know, says and screams you from your core, they would all then, once they either saw it, read it, listened to it, would instantly...
I mean, it's hard. That's a super hard, because, like, you have different relationships with different people, and so, like, different people might, like... You just behave in different ways around different people, you know? Right. Like, for instance, like, something I do for my parents, I could act a completely different way around my best friend, you know, where I, like, just, like, have different speech, or I just, like, have different... I don't know. I'm just different around them, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a hard one. Maybe let's come back to it. Hopefully yeah. I can think of something.
For sure, man.
All right.
Yeah, no problem. So... With, is it the fabric of hip-hop?
Well, I mean, I always just went under fabric, and then...
Fabric, okay.
Yeah, and then, the thing, when you search the fabric of hip-hop on Google, it's easier to find something yeah. like that rather than fabric, because, I mean, fabric is a super common word.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. So, when did that start? That whole venture?
How long has it been? I mean, I think I've been fabric for like six, like maybe before I started making beats, I don't know, like 8 years or something.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly the year, but I went through a few names before I found fabric, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Because I think it describes music in a really nice way, because it's cool. Like you're weaving different instruments together.
Oh, cool. I never even thought about it like that. That's cool.
Okay. So yeah. It was unintentional, eh?
That's rad. I actually like that. Yeah, that's super cool.
Okay, so with your music, you started then 6 years ago?
No, I mean...
Well, like, because the name was Eight, but the...
I don't know. Like, I started making music, like, just, like, shortly after high school, but it was just a joke back then, and then it just, like, turned into an obsession, which turned into, like... me starting to take it really seriously after like 3 years probably, you know. Right. I was a rapper for like a long time, but then I ended up spending all this money on beats, and I was like, what the heck am I doing, you know? It's like, why am I spending all this money on this, you know? So it turned into one of these things where it's like I just like couldn't afford buying beats all the time, and so I was like, all right, I'm gonna take a stab at like learning how to make beats. And so I don't know, it bums me out though, because I love making beats and it's super rad and I wouldn't trade it for the world, but at the same time, I don't write anymore. I'll write like one verse like every 6 months, and it's like I don't know what happened. And I mean, you can't force anything, and it's like you can't just like wish things into existence, So it's like I said, you can't force it. If it's not there, it's not there. But at the same time, there's a part of my heart that like really wants to write songs again. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. Anyways, to do with Fabric, like, do you want to know where I came up with the name?
Like, I mean, if you'd like to share that info, but I mean, I want to maybe just follow your journey into music and how that grew.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, me and my homie in high school, he rapped, and he introduced it to me, and like we started writing these like really terrible songs, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't as terrible as I was, because he had actually been rapping for a while, but I was not a natural. It was one of those things where I had to work like really hard to like develop any sort of skill or flow or whatever. But then, I mean, I think I was like 22, and I actually got signed to like a record label. It was just like an indie label.
Really?
So I was like, dang it. I was like, this is actually super rad. And I mean, it was just like a confidence booster, but it turned out that he was really flaky and he really didn't know what he was doing, and it ended up being like a toxic thing.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it was a good learning experience. But yeah, I mean, it gave me like hope that it's like, all right, like you've got something here, you know? And so I guess I don't really, that really holds no place in my mind. I really don't think about that much anymore, but it's like, I guess now that I'm talking about it, it's just like, I do miss writing songs, you know? Like, there's something powerful about being able to write songs, and I don't know. It's not that I'm just going to give up on it, but I also think you can't force stuff, like I was just saying, you know? It's like, I feel like the best work is created naturally, not when you're, like, pushing it to happen, yeah. You know? Like, a lot of times when I make a beat that's, like, super rad, I just feel something telling me to, like, go to the piano and just, like, start playing, you know? Just, like, let it happen, you know? And then, I'm not saying I've never made a good piece of art where I'm, like, just forcing it, and I'm just like, man, I just can't leave until I make something I like, because I've made something cool in those situations. But anyways, yeah, I'm totally losing track here. I got signed to that label, and then things just kind of fell apart. And then, like I said, I think just over the course of time, I ended up spending too much money on making beats, and I just started making beats. And I think, like, maybe, I don't know, writing really slowed down, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I've really just been, like, more making beats since then. And I've never made beats for anyone famous or anything like that, but I would love to, like, produce a record. I would love to produce a record for somebody at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be super fun and just like a really cool experience. But I guess that's where I am. I mean, one thing that really changed over the last 6 months is I think before, for instance, I felt like maybe I was looking for happiness in music or skateboarding or these things, you know, like, and for me, I guess part of the realization over the last 6 months was that, like, this might sound weird to some people, but I feel like happiness isn't really possible without Jesus at the center of your life. Like, for me, that's what works, you know what I mean? And so, like, now I used to place so much weight on skateboarding and music and stuff to, like, make me happy. But now it's just, like, that's not where I find my happiness, you know? It's not at all. And, like, those things are super rad, and they're tools that can be used for, like, really positive things. But, yeah, I guess now I'm just not putting the pressure that I used to put on music. I really don't think I'm done with music. I really think, like, right now, like, coming home and, like, being in the studio again has been, like, hard. But I also just feel like this is just, like, a temporary thing. Like, I'm leaving to L.A. in a week. I'm gonna be gone for another 3 months. Like, maybe it's just gonna wait until I come back from LA and I'm just, like, here for a while.
Right.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, with writing, I might write occasionally, but I think definitely, like, where my focus is gonna be with music in the future is gonna be, like, making beats for the most part.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been my journey with music.
You're really good at it.
Oh,
I have to say.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, because, yeah, we spoke about it before, but yeah, it was. Searched Saskatoon music,
yeah,
and then that's how I eventually found your SoundCloud.
Sure. Yeah.
And man, yeah, I listened to all of them.
Yeah. Cool. That's rad.
So now I've done that, well, I can't even count how many times.
Oh, that's
now.
Rad, dude. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's awesome because you find someone who creates awesome content.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to one, two, and then you just keep going through all of it.
That's awesome, man.
So is that all of the work that you've ever created?
No. I mean, no, not even close. I've literally got hundreds of beats. But I mean, not all of them are good or finished, you know, either. So it's one of those things. I mean,
do you ever like dream and then when you wake up, you're like, oh, I have a beat that I just created.
Sometimes I'll hear like melodies in my head, or I'll hear like a piece of music in my head that I know is like an original piece, like I've never heard it before. But the thing that sucks for me is that I don't have any musical training. So basically the way I started making beats was I was just obsessed with it, and I just like played piano every day for like all the time, and I just learned how to like play. And so it sucks though, because at the same time it's like I really, really wish I knew how to play. And I feel like now, because I've self-taught myself, I probably have like a lot of like bad habits, or like just like I've ingrained, like it's so ingrained how I play that if for me to actually take lessons and learn technically how to play might be really challenging for me, because I just have like patterns in my head of how I play the piano.
Okay.
You know, and so sometimes I hear music in my head and I'm like, dang it, I would love to be able to like make what I hear in my head like for real, you know. And I can't do that. So I mean, I've heard things in my head where I really want to like recreate that, but I just can't. I just don't have that ability. For me it's just like more or less I just sit down at the piano and kind of whatever comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. Is more how it works. Yeah. Yeah.
So your creativity comes from because you don't force it. So
I try not to.
How do I say the opposite of forcing? It's just naturally happens.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like that's when the best work happens, but I'm also like, I'm a really obsessive person. And so there's seasons of my life where I just want to make music, and I'll be in the studio every day, whether it's natural or not. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. The thing about art is like, you need to do it all the time, because you're going to make a lot of mediocre work, and then one day you're just going to make something that's super rad and so much better than everything else that you've been working on, and you're like, dang it, this is amazing. But I feel like those pieces of work only come from making a bunch of mediocre work every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Totally. I feel like that's how I think like music works and art works and painting works, and whatever you love doing, you have to do it all the time, and you have to do it like at a very like middle level for a while. Like, I don't know, it's just, it's impossible to do great work all the time, in my opinion, and people can disagree with me if they want to, but it's just like, I just don't think we're made to like create great work constantly. Like, I think we have to make stuff that is just kind of okay, and we have to plug through it, and then we're gifted with like an amazing piece of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Because like, there's a handful of like 20 beats that I've made in my life that are way better than all my other beats. You know what I mean? And I just feel like that's because I was working every day and really diligent with my work, and then one day something just like kind of clicked, and I magically made something that was better than everything else that I'd been working on for the last month or something. You know what I mean?
I totally get that.
Yeah. So
it reminds me of exactly what I did. Well, not exactly, but it reminds me of what I went through recently, because I did 200 days of making videos.
Sure.
Every day.
Yeah.
And just having that deadline of every day, you know, sometimes I just wouldn't film enough that day. And then when I go to produce that video, it's like, this is not a good video.
Totally.
But I have a deadline, and I guess I'll post it.
Yeah.
And now I just added a bad video to my repertoire, I guess.
Yeah. See, but I think stuff like that is like healthy to do, because you're putting pressure isn't always a good thing, but it is in some circumstances. It's like, I'm going to make a video every day for 200 days. That's kind of gnarly. Like that's like a lot of days in a row to like make a video. So I also think that kind of pushes you, and it's like, dang it, I gotta do this. You know what I mean? As long as you want to like have like a reputable name, like let's say for instance you go on your social media and you're like, I'm gonna do a video for 200 days. You've publicly like announced that you're gonna make a video for 200 days. you know, and then if you don't, people are just like, this guy's whack because he lied. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I think stuff like that is actually pretty rad. And like I said, like, of course, some of those videos are not going to be that awesome.
Yeah.
But through that process, I'm sure you learned a lot at the same time.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure. And I did find that taking a break from that, like having a rest period, because I'm continuing on, like today is, I'm calling it season two.
Sure.
I guess. And season two of the podcast, which we're doing, and then the video series.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like just having a rest from something that you're doing and forcing yourself to do allows you to just step back and really actually have a chance to analyze and be like, okay, this was working, this wasn't, mm-hmm. let's change things.
Totally.
So, like, for instance, this, obviously, I revamped the set. I no longer use these little headsets that sure. plug into a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to put a phone on each person. One was an iPhone, one was an Android.
Yeah.
And then there'd be like these little headsets, and I'd record the interviews that way.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to sync up the audio separately.
Sure.
And then since it was two different devices, it would be completely off. It was yeah. a nightmare. But now both of these are recorded to the same one.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about it.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
For sure. So I'm excited that the workflow for this will be a lot easier.
Yeah.
Going forward, and I'll be able to. But what do you think I should do? Should I release these on the day that they happen, or should I do a weekly schedule? Or
I mean, that's a personal decision, you know. I mean, that's totally your call, because this is your thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many guests you have lined up. I don't know if you have a guest for every day, or like how many you're planning on doing per week. You know. I don't know what your plan is.
I don't have a number per se, but they're, I don't know.
Because, I mean, me personally, I would lean, like, so last year I tried doing, like, releasing a beat every, like, 3 days for a while, which is why there's so much material on my SoundCloud. But then it's just, like, beats and stuff like this require more work. There was the reason I did that, it was because there was this photographer taking photos, and he was releasing a photo every day for 365 days a year. And the thing is like, for me, and maybe this is super ignorant to say because I'm not a photographer, but I feel like it's pretty easy to like take a photo every day, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, maybe some photographers would probably be, like, super mad at me and be like, you're a huge jerk and there's so much more to it than what you're talking about. Because I know there is. And I know, like, with any craft, like, there is more to it than you actually think, you know? Sure. And it takes a while to get good at anything. So I'm sorry. But, like, for me, it was just, like, that's super rad. But it was, like, it seems super feasible with taking photos, you know? I was like, all right, you know, do that. But also what I realized in like trying to put out beats all the time is like you kind of burn yourself out, you know? So it's like I feel like doing something like on a weekly, like with something like this too, that isn't just like that might require a little bit more work and like, mm-hmm. you know, to have it like polished and nice and how you want it to be. It's like, exactly. I think like a weekly thing is fine, yeah. you know, for me personally. But this, like I said, this is your baby. This is your thing. So
fair enough.
Do your thing, you know?
Because it was weekly. Like the first season was weekly.
Yeah.
And then, Yeah, so I might do the same thing. I guess that's just something I'll...
You're going to have to chew on it.
Yeah,
I'll have to figure it out.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for your input on that. I'm definitely going to take that into consideration for this.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, so did you have an answer for the previous question?
We've been talking about so much other stuff.
The evil hypnotist goes through...
Bang.
Or even like Men in Black style, just
well, I mean, it's funny because like I was just like a part of Calling All Skaters, and like this is kind of weird, but like I've really tried like cleaning up my language. Like I don't curse anymore, and so like I call people freaks all the time, but it's like a term of endearment. It's of like me, like it's how people know that they're my bro. I'm like, what's up, you freak, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
And it's just like, so I know that if I was to say that, like, to, like, but like I said, like, I wouldn't say that to my parents. I wouldn't, like, sit down for supper with my parents and be like, what's up, you freaks? You know, like, you know what I mean? That's just not how I talk to them.
Yeah.
But, like, for certain friends, they know that that's how I talk, you know? So it's like, what's up, you freaks? They'd be like, oh, what the heck, dude? It's Aaron, you know? So, I mean, it's a hard question, though. I don't know, man. I still don't really have a good answer for you.
No? Okay.
Is that along the lines of, like, what you're going for? Like a mannerism or, like something
well,
that...
I guess... I don't even know. Usually, whatever comes to your head. I'm not really aiming for anything specific from my side. Like, I mean... Personally, I was kind of envisioning, like... You making a skateboard video to, like, one of your beats or something.
Oh, I mean, I've always wanted to do that, actually, man. So maybe that is going to happen one day. I don't know.
No, actually, it's with skateboarding.
Sure.
I know this maybe a easy question, but because I love snowboarding.
Sure.
So I bought, like, a little cruiser board for when it's summer here, so I can still feel like I'm snowboarding in the summer.
Yeah.
What's the first trick that someone should learn
on a skateboard? An ollie.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then after ollie,
I mean,
I forgot about
there's different ollie was there's a trick. The thing is ollie is the foundation of, like, everything. So it's just like, I know some people who are, like, trying 360 flips and they can't ollie, and I'm like, you need to learn how to ollie, you know? But anyways, the thing that I love about skating is there's so many different ways to skate, but I mean, I guess there's two kind of, like, broad categories that skateboarding is kind of, like, painted under, like, whatever. So there's, like, transition skating, which is, like, mini ramps.
Right.
But then there's more, like, street-style skating, so that's, like, ledges and rails and, like, flip tricks and stuff like that, you know? So, I mean... It kind of depends on, like, what you're into. If you're going to start skating mini ramp, it's just, like, doing, like, a rock and roll, which is just, like, getting your front wheels over the coping and then coming back down. Or there's, like, a 50-50 stall, which is just getting your two trucks on that stall and then going back in.
Right.
But, I mean, even just, like, dropping in on a mini ramp, you know, and learning how to, like, drop in and just... But don't... I wouldn't say, like, just, like, jump up on a quarter pipe and drop in, because I've seen people just eat it because they have no idea what they're doing. It's, like, take baby steps, you know? Like,
yeah.
The thing about skateboarding is, like, it's super gnarly and it's super dangerous. And I've seen people wreck themselves because they're skating above their abilities. So it's just, like... But like I said, with transition, just, like, learning... Even if there's just, like, a transition ramp, like, just learning how to go up it, and just, like, maybe taking one more push the next time so you're going a little bit higher and a little bit higher, you know, and just, like, learning how to balance your weight. But with, like, street skating, like I said, like an ollie, the next two tricks you should probably learn is, like, a kickflip or a pop shove it. People like to learn 180s, stuff like that. But, I mean, even some people don't even know how to push properly on a skateboard. So there's, like, things that is, like, Mongo pushing, which is when you push with your back foot on the skateboard. Like, when you push, you should have your foot at the front and then your back foot pushes.
Right.
But some people have their back foot down on the skateboard and they push with their front foot, and it's super dangerous. So even stuff like that is, like, important to know, you know?
Right, right.
So that's kind of, like, a pretty long answer to a simple question. But
oh, no. I kind of expected a long answer from you because that's your thing. Yeah, you recently posted a video. I think it was on your Instagram.
Yeah.
What was that trick?
Frontside flip on, yeah, it was down a three block in San Francisco. It's pretty gnarly. No, like, I've been, I don't want to sound conceited, but, like, I'm good at skating, and one of the things is like, I've skated in my comfort zone for a long time because I'm 30, man, and it's like, I don't want to wreck myself, you know? It's like, you have a job, you
take longer to heal.
Well, and that's the thing, dude, it's like, it's just like, it's pretty gnarly. But the thing about skateboarding, with anything in life, is, like, you're really rewarded when you leave your comfort zone. Like, I was freaking out before I left for San Francisco. I was like, what am I doing? I'm leaving everything I know behind, my family, my friends, my life, and I'm going somewhere that I could completely be in the wrong place for the next 6 months of my life. You know, I'm like, this is, what the hell? You know, like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So, I just feel, and so like my friends, we were skating in San Francisco, and my homie was like, oh, come skate this two block with me. And so I started skating that, and then my homie, and then I friends, I flipped the two block, and then my homie started skating the three block, and then I started skating that too. And it was one of those things where I was just like, dude, if he's skating it, I'm gonna skate it too, you know. And I posted a little story along with my Instagram, and it's just like, I think sometimes we're really called to go outside of our comfort zone. And like, for me, I've been trying to build my faith more in God and trust God more, you know. And it was like, it was right before leaving San Francisco, and I was like, you know, I trust you, God, that I'm gonna like step out of my comfort zone, and I'm not gonna leave here broken, and you're gonna let me land this trick, you know. And I had to battle it, and it was like, that was not first try by any means. That was a long battle, but I got it, you know. And it was magic, and it's so cool. I think one of the coolest things about skateboarding is there's two angles up on the Instagram, and one of them is filmed like really pro, where it just like flips up after I land it. But there's a second angle which isn't filmed as good, and it's super rad because at the end of it you hear like my friend John screaming, and he runs up and he hugs me, you know. And to me, it's just like, I think that's what's so cool about skateboarding, is just like how people get so stoked on each other, and how like much like love there can be, and how just like, that was like a super rad moment where my homie was just like stoked on me, you know. And I mean, sometimes in skateboarding it's the opposite, where people are very comparison based, and it's like if someone does a trick better than them, they're like, screw that guy or whatever.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I think that goes to there's probably magicians that get jealous, there's for sure. Musicians that get jealous, there's people that just get jealous of other people's abilities, you know. So I mean, I don't know. That was just like super special moment. That was probably the most special moment of the 6 months, because I finally was like, okay, I'm just gonna do this, you know, and do something bigger than what I'm like comfortable doing, you know.
Exactly.
So that was super rad and like super magical moment, and it makes me want to start doing that with skateboarding more and more, you know.
Man, I can't wait to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause oh man, yeah, with the snow going away right now. I'm like, oh, gotta wait till next year, I guess.
Yeah, it's true, dude.
Or make a last-minute trip to the mountains. I might have to do that.
Yeah, if you got the cash, dude, do it.
So you leave in a week,
basically. Well, I'm off to Edmonton in a week, and then I fly out in like nine days or something, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's so awesome. And then this one's 3 months.
Yeah.
So when you get back, can we do a follow-up episode?
Yeah, I'd love to, man.
Yeah, man.
I mean... Yeah, I mean, it's...
'Cause I'd love to follow the journey and document.
This was rad. This was a good experience. Yeah, I mean, just to any of my friends who might, like, watch this or listen to this, it's just, like, God changed my life, so I'm going to keep giving God that opportunity to, like, make more of a foundation in my life, and so that's, like, why I'm going to L.A., and hopefully... yeah, I can just, like, be a good influence on my friends' lives, you know? That's, I mean, I'm doing this for me, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, it's like, if I can influence my friends in a positive way along the way, then that's what's up, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, from all the things that you do, mm-hmm. what are some lessons, that you've learned from those, and I think we touched briefly on this, but what are some things that you've learned from those experiences that relate to life in general? Because I know you mentioned we just talked about it, being outside of your comfort zone.
Sure.
But are there any others?
I mean, I think even with comparison, I was just talking about comparison. Comparison is really, really, really unhealthy, and people need to stop doing it. Before I left leaving your comfort zone is so special and so powerful, and like if I wouldn't have went to San Francisco, I would not be as happy or healthy or in such a good place as I am now. And that's because I jumped out of my comfort zone and I was like, all right, I'm gonna go do that. But also with comparison, it's just like, I'm 30, I don't have a wife, I don't have a house, I don't have like things that like people from a worldly standpoint consider most 30-year-olds should probably have or like be working towards getting. I don't have a career, you know? And so it's one of those things where it's like, I have a friend who before I left, he's got a fiance, he's got They both have nice vehicles. They have a really nice house. They have really nice stuff. You know, like, their furniture is really nice, and, like, they've got a nice cozy little life, you know? And I love them to death, so don't take this the wrong way at all. But I realized while being gone that I wouldn't have been able to leave if I had all those things. I wouldn't have been able to go and find this happiness that I found if I had all those things. You know what I mean? I couldn't have left my family. I couldn't have left kids. I couldn't have left a mortgage behind, because I wouldn't have been able to afford leaving and having a mortgage at home and all these things.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes I think people get so caught up in comparing themselves with other people and what other people have or where people are at in life. And it's just like, you just got to focus on you. You know what I mean? Because we're all on our own path, man. We're all on our own journey. We're all doing our own thing. And it's just like, when you start focusing on too much on what other people are doing, you're going to blow it, because you're going to get disappointed and stuff. You know what I mean? So I think, like, that was a huge lesson for me this last year, was just like, stop comparing yourself. You know, even with beats and with skateboarding, it's like, there's thousands of people better at skateboarding than me out there. There's thousands of people better at making beats than me out there, you know.
But there's no one that can be Aaron and make Aaron's music better than
that's you. The thing, man, is like, I'm happy with my skateboarding. I'm happy with my beats. Yeah, I could be better at both those things, and I'm a person of progression. I just like being a better human in every aspect that I can be, you know. So, but I mean, I just, like, really hope people, like, stop comparing so much. I mean, being judgmental on other people too, it's just like, that's something else I've really tried working on. It's just like I said, with me coming home and all my friends still smoking weed and drinking, it's like, they're like, I can't pass judgment on those people. I was that person forever. You know what I mean? So it's like, I have zero place to be like, oh, you guys need to smarten up, you know. It's like, yeah, maybe they do, but at the same time, it's just like, they're also their own people, and they're allowed to make whatever decisions they want to make with their life, you know. It's just I don't know, I just think it's really unhealthy. Like, it just, it's funny, because it says in the Bible that if you judge other people, chances are you've done exactly what you're judging that other person for at some point in your life. And when it comes time for judgment, you're going to be judged to the exact same level that you were judging the other person for that.
Right.
You know?
That makes sense.
And so, like, just from a biblical perspective, it's just, like, I've really tried to, like, back off and be like, okay, like, we're all kind of, like, we're our own people. We're going to make our own mistakes. We're going to do our own thing. And I need to just, like, because sometimes I have high standards for myself, and I'll let those rub off on other people. You know, I'll be like, I'll hold other people to the same standard that I'd hold myself to.
Right.
And I just don't think that's healthy, because it's just like, we're all allowed to do whatever the heck we want to do. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can't hold other people to the same standard that I hold myself to, because I can hold myself to whatever standard I want.
Right.
But I mean, I can't push those onto other people.
Exactly.
You know? So, I mean, those are three, like, huge life lessons, I guess, I've learned in the past year. You know, step out of your comfort zone, stop comparing yourself, stop being so judgmental, you know. And I think those are, like, amazing things. I mean, one thing is talking about it, and the other thing is applying, you know. It's, yeah, like, probably every day I still live in my comfort zone. I still compare myself to people, and I'm still judgmental. They're just things that I'm, like, working on and, yeah, trying to get better, of course, at. Yeah, you know, yeah, what I mean?
Exactly. And you do an hour and a half of prayer every day?
Well, yeah. It's like, prayer, reading the Bible. It's just, like, quiet time, and I try to start my day with that, because it's just like, I wake up, go to the bathroom, get changed, get ready for the day, whatever, and then, yeah, I just go and do that immediately, because it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like you start your day off, like, kind of in the right rhythm that way.
Do you have a morning routine?
I mean, right now I do, because I don't have a job. So right now I just, like, get up, like I said, do my, like, get ready for the day kind of thing, take 20 minutes at the beginning of the day, and then I go to Starbucks and I have quiet time, and then I go to the gym for about an hour and a half and shower and clean up, and that's usually my morning, and then I come home and eat, and then it's lunchtime by that time, you, yeah, know.
So and you have the gym in there too?
Yeah, every day, man, you know. That's, I mean, awesome. Something that's pretty gnarly is, like, it says in the Bible, like, through Christ you're a new creation. And so since leaving, I used to weigh like 150 pounds before I left, and I came back 175 pounds. And it's like, I like, but, like, the thing is not, like, I have like no chub on me. Like, it's just like, I think just weight that I needed to gain. So it's just like, through that, like, I did a lot of like push-ups and pull-ups and sit-ups and stuff while I was away, but it's just like going to the gym is so important for all of us, you know. Staying active is so important, you know. It's like, I don't know, I can't stress that enough, you know. Like, for me personally, like, God and the gym and like staying active and like eating healthy food, like, all these things are like super important for me to be like a healthy person, you know. So
exactly, so you're healthy in your body and healthy in your mind.
Yeah.
So is there anything specific that you could maybe let us know that helped you or that you've learned on how to control your thoughts?
I mean, so,
'cause I mean, for example, when you, like, if someone is comparing themselves, like everyone
sure,
does,
yeah,
how do you realize you're doing that and then make a change?
I mean, that's the thing, is we all need to be more self-aware, and sometimes we're not aware of these things, you know what I mean? I'm a really quiet and reserved person, and like I said, I take an hour and a half at least of quiet time a day, so I have a lot of time to think, you know. I make space for myself. Like, for me it's hard because, like, we're all broken people in different ways, and I feel like we kind of work on one thing at a time, you know. And so it's like there's certain things that need to be worked on presently, and then there's things that need to be worked on down the road. And it's just like, for me, for instance, like I said, I was freed from addictions, but those were like initially, like 6 months ago, those were the things at the forefront that needed to be worked on. And then once those things were taken away from me, then I realized I was comparing and being judgmental. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the thing is like, once I work on comparison and judgmental to a place where I feel like I've got a handle on that, God's going to point out something else and be like, look, dude, you're blowing it here too. And you need to work on this. You know what I mean? So I feel like kind of like as things are stripped away from you that are like negative things, that are bad things that we shouldn't be doing, I feel like other things can be pointed out because all of us are so far from perfect. You know what I mean? So I just feel like really stripping away all these like negative layers from our life is like a lifelong process, you know. Like, for anyone to think that at one day they're going to be like perfect Zen master, whoever, you know, it's like, they're probably not, man, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but it really is important to be self-aware, you know. It really is to look at yourself and be like, what, like, how am I treating other people? How am I thinking about people in my head? Like, it takes conscious effort of like really like examining your brain, kind of, you know what I mean? And just some people are really self-involved and they're just so focused on themselves, but I don't know, they don't really focus on things that they should, you know. I don't know. That's a hard question, I guess.
What I'm kind of envisioning as you're explaining that is that it's almost like you have a layer, let's call it like a filter.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you find out that there's a filter there, whether it's smoking or whatever, and you remove that filter, that gives way for you to see the next filter.
And I feel like there's going to be like an infinite number of filters, really.
Yeah.
You know?
One leads to the next, but you got to deal with them as they come up.
Yeah.
And put your full time and attention onto each individual one.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. I need to do that more, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
because, yeah, self-awareness, man. I'm not that self-aware, the more I think about, like, even the last little bit, I've been learning about that a bit more, too. And, mm-hmm. yeah, that's something I need to definitely enhance quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, all right, man. How about you share with us your favorite story? And this doesn't have to be anything that we've spoke about. It could be completely unrelated. Just, like, your favorite
story. Favorite story.
Maybe story or memory.
Favorite memory?
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite part of, like, for a memory, I mean, I know we've talked a lot about the last 6 months, and there's not a specific memory from the last 6 months, but it's just the fact that, like, my life was kind of a gong show for a long time, you know? And so, just the insane, like, 180 turn my life has taken in the last 6 months to me is, like, I have a feeling I'm going to look back at this year as being the most special year of my life, you know? As long as I, like, stay on the path that I'm on, kind of thing, you know? Right. For me, I just think this is a huge turning point and a really important part of my life is, like, this last year, and I hope this next 3 months is just, like, adding to that story kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, so for me, personally, it's I don't have, like, one specific moment that's, like, super rad. I know if I was to think about it, yeah. There is, like, super rad things that have happened, but at the same time, it's just, like, because some people have asked me that question. They're like, what's the coolest thing that happened when you were gone? And it's like, it's really hard for me to be like, this is the number one rad thing.
Yeah,
the number one rad thing was probably the frontside flip at Soma, to be honest with you. But like, the whole experience was super rad and challenging. People living in a group of 10 dudes, like, I was with 10 dudes every day for 3 months when I was overseas, and we never had any time away from each other. Like, that's super gnarly, you know? And, like, some dudes don't shower very often, and, like, you know, some dudes just don't clean up after themselves, you know? And it's like, there was a lot of hard stuff to go with the last 6 months. It wasn't all just, oh, this was awesome and just fun all the time. It wasn't, you know? It was hard. But yeah, that was definitely, like, my biggest, like, rad moment in my life was just the whole experience, you know?
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. So, do you know anything about what the next 3 months may entail?
Well, I think it just going deeper. It's like DTS is which is what I just did for the last 6 months is just kind of like a genuine, like, just kind of an introduction, you know, into ministry and into doing outreach and into, like, traveling and, like, spreading the word of God kind of thing. And so the next 3 months, it's like I could actually be a staff at YWAM after this, like, through taking this course, so I could go and be a leader and go and travel with the organization and go to travel different parts of the world and, like, live on base and, like, be a part of it. Yeah, it's pretty rad. It is. So, I mean, for me personally, it's just, like, over the next 3 months, I just want my foundation to go even deeper. You know what I mean? Really.
So, for sure.
Yeah.
Expand your mind. Expand your knowledge.
Yeah.
Expand your relationship with God.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I mean, because, like, for instance, I read the Bible when I was gone, but I know over the next 3 months, like, part of the program is, like, reading the Bible again, so you read it in 3 months. It's not a book to be speed read. Anyone out there that thinks they should just fly through reading the Bible, don't do it, because there's a lot of stuff in there. But, like, even me reading it over the course of 6 months, that's too fast, you know? But I wanted a general understanding of the book, you know what I mean? Right. And so now, it's like I'm just going over stuff that I know is, like, relevant, you know, to, like, what I'm going through. That's the thing about that book is, like, there's a lot of stuff in there that can help people through. That book was written a long time ago. It's an ancient book that's 100% relevant today, you know? So, anyways, I'm just, like, excited to get to know more about the book, you know? Because I feel like over the course of the last month, I haven't been in the Word as much as I was over the last 6 months. And I'm not as, like, focused and, like, feeling as good as I was for that 6 months. And I still feel great. But I noticed yesterday, for instance, I was like, I took like 3 hours of quiet time yesterday because I was like, had nothing to do, you know? And like, now that I'm like sober, like, I don't hang out with a lot of the friends that I used to because I don't want to go and sit around and smoke weed all the time. So I like have a bunch of free time right now. So yesterday I just like went and like read my Bible and I felt so good yesterday, you know? And so, I don't know. To me, it's just like a really special book and I feel like it can, as long as like, for me personally, it's like it works for me. As long as I'm in the book, then I feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I loved hearing about your story and learning from you, man.
Cool.
So, can you share with us the best way for people to find you?
Yep, I can. If you're on Instagram, it's fabric.hip.hop. So yeah, you can follow me there. And that's kind of where I post all my updates from my journey. So you can definitely follow me along there. And then on SoundCloud, I think it's just soundcloud.com/fabrichiphop. So those are the two places. I'm not going to give out my Facebook. But yeah, I mean, if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can kind of keep up to date with my journey. I post like little inspirational stories to go along with my photos. That's been one thing that's been like super rad, I guess, about Instagram is like, I post a lot of like, I don't know, there's like a little story that has been going along with all my photos.
It's like a blog.
Well, it's kind of. And it's just rad because like over the last 6 months, I probably had like 20 to 25 people. It's not a huge number, but I've had people like private message me and be like, these stories, like there was one girl, for instance, that went and did a DTS in San Francisco after we left for our outreach. And I talked to her when I got back because we were in San Francisco for another week before I came home. And she said the post that I made, the initial post I made about like finding freedom from my addictions, was the reason that she had actually decided to go to San Francisco, because she was so inspired by the story and the difference that God made in my life that she wanted to go to San Francisco, you know? And it's just like so rad, because I think if social media is used in the right way, that it can be like super amazing and super effective, you know? Totally. Because I think some people look for their value in how many likes they get. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, I'm not gonna lie, I love when people like my photos and comment on my story. Like, yeah, it's rad. But at the same time, it's just like, I want to promote like a better life to people through what I'm posting online. You know what I mean? Because through all the messages, I'm like on the last one before I came home, it was just like, if you want to go and sit down for a coffee with me and learn about Jesus, I'm more than willing to sit down with you and talk to you about this, you know? Like, so for any of my friends out there, it's like, I'm so willing to share this stuff with you if you want to learn, you know? But yeah, anyways, just to do with social media, it's like, it's cool when you use it as a tool to like positively influence people and not as a tool of like, how much am I worth? It's like, you're worth so much more than the likes you get on Instagram. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So
there's something that, oh man, I'm just forgetting it now. There's a disaster that just recently happened in another country.
In Peru? There was flooding in Peru.
Is it Peru?
Okay. A woman at church on Sunday asked us if we could pray for Peru because there was flooding in Peru. I don't know if that's what you're talking about.
If it's just recent, that might be it. But someone, his name's I can't say his last name. Anyways, he has a big social media following, and he used that following to get some sort of airline, whatever airline goes there, to donate one flight, and then got his following to donate money to fill that flight full of food.
Oh wow!
And then they flew.
See, that's magic, man. That's super rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like tons of food. I think $1 million worth of food.
That's insane. Yeah.
And all just because of a social media outreach for.
Yeah, dude.
Like, it's amazing.
Yeah,
and absolutely. When done the right way, the proper way,
yeah,
that's an amazing result. Like, we can help so many people.
Totally, man. Absolutely.
So, well, with that, thank you so much, Aaron.
Yeah, dude.
I hope you had a good time. I learned so much about you and just learned some more things that I'm going to, you know, implement in my life, too.
Sure. Rad.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was episode number 50. For the show notes, please go to hadlin.com/CMC050 for more information on Aaron and his music. Now, man, I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And I hope that if you did like this episode, which I know if you didn't, you're lying to everybody. Because this was amazing. And how can you not like this episode? And how can you not enjoy listening to Aaron's story? Man, okay. Please share this and like this and help us get this into the ears of somebody that you know that needs to listen to this story. All right, guys. Thank you once again so much. And I'm going to now leave you with one of Aaron Bashu's songs.
titled, let me pick it up here. Which one should we play? Called Faith Renewed.